Good morning, everybody. If I haven't met you before, my name is Joel, and I serve as the youth pastor here at East Frio Church. If this is your first time at East Frio, welcome. So I've got a question for you guys. Raise your hand if you've ever sent a text message, an email, or a letter even, that had absolutely zero response. Nothing. No red message, no reply, no green little ticks. Okay, so a couple of us know what that feels like. And there's kind of specific anxiety sometimes that comes with that. You start wondering, if you're like me, did that person see the message? Are they ignoring me? Am I being ghosted, to use a young person's term? Is something wrong? Did I say something weird? Should I send a follow-up text? Should I not? Double text. There's a kind of tension there, absolute agony of it. Now, I wonder if some of us feel a bit like that about prayer. I know that I certainly have. Set something up, sometimes desperately, sometimes half-heartedly, sometimes out of habit or routine. And then we wait in silence, waiting, wondering, is God even hearing me? Does it even matter? Am I doing it right? Does he even care? And then sometimes we just stop praying. Or maybe those questions stop us even before we begin. Now, whether you're here today and you're not even sure whether you believe any of this yet, or you've been walking with Jesus for some time now, I think many of us, if we're honest, find prayer to be a slightly challenging topic. Some of us in the room might feel like prayer's too complicated. Some of us might feel like we're just not very good at it. Maybe some of us feel too busy or too distracted to pray. Or maybe we feel disappointed because of unanswered prayers. And some of us just feel spiritually stuck. So today I want to share some ways of approaching prayer that speak into each of those challenges. Not prayer as a kind of a religious duty, not prayer as a technique, but prayer as a living conversation with the God who already knows your name, who loves you, and who's already leaning in to listen. First, let's hear what the Bible has to say about prayer. And for that, I'd like to invite Cameron up to read today's short but powerful Bible message. Can you please join me in warmly welcoming Cam?
Good morning, everybody. What an honor this is to read to you beautiful people in the house of God. We are reading through Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Follow along if you may. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, Cam. Now, let me give you a bit of context to this passage so you can understand the weight of it. The Apostle Paul writes this letter, and he's writing it to a church in a place called Philippi to give them guidance on how to live and how to follow God. But the most amazing and hectic part, I think, is actually writing these words from prison. Paul was locked up by the Jewish authorities for teaching people about Jesus, the Messiah. And as he writes this, Paul doesn't know whether he's going to be executed or whether he's going to be released. He's got no control over his circumstances. And he's writing to the Philippians who are also facing persecution for their faith. And here Paul writes, don't be anxious about anything. Wait, what? Don't be anxious about anything? Really, Paul? But notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, toughen up. He doesn't offer advice to just think positive thoughts. He doesn't tell them just to stop feeling anxious, full stop. He actually points to a solution. He points towards prayer. directed to the God of the universe. So let's look at this passage in a bit more detail. So Paul opens this prayer here, and he says, right, in every situation. This is comprehensive. He's not talking about a category of prayers when things get really bad. Paul means everything. Your Monday morning, your school, your home, or your work situation. That thing that keeps you up at night, worrying. Every situation is a potential prayer situation. And then in that next bit, he says, he refers to prayer and petition. Now there's a distinction here in general prayer or a posture of connection with God and petition, which are specific requests that we have. Now, both of these matter. The Bible teaches us that the God of the universe wants a relationship and a connection with us. And as a flow on from that, he genuinely wants to receive our requests. And then Paul says, with thanksgiving, this is the pivot. Gratitude actually changes our posture of prayer. When we approach God with thankfulness, even in the middle of a hard thing, we're acknowledging that God has been faithful before, and we're trusting that he's going to be faithful again. In the next bit, he talks about presenting our requests to God. Now, the word present here is the language of coming before a king. Not demanding, not begging, but bringing. And there's dignity here. We're invited into the presence of God to lay down all of the things that we're carrying. And then this bit, the promise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. That word guard in the original Greek is actually a military term. It means to stand sentinel, to keep watch. God's peace is not a feeling, not just a feeling, it's a fortress. Now, when you pray, it doesn't necessarily mean that your circumstances change, although they certainly can. What it actually means is God's peace is going to stand between you and that thing that's threatening to rob you of your peace, that his fortress of peace is going to protect you. But here's a question that's worth sitting with for a second. Why would God do that for us? Why would a holy God guard the hearts of people like us, people who drift, who doubt, keep making the same mistakes? And the answer is Jesus. We don't get access to God because we earned it. We get access because Jesus made a way. Paul says elsewhere in the book of Romans, while we were still in the mess, not after we cleaned up ourselves or after we figured it out, Christ died for us. Jesus took everything that separates us from God, and he absorbed it. And when he walked out from that tomb 3 days later, he opened a door that had previously been shut. That's not religion. That's grace. Unearned, undeserved. And it means that every single person in this room, regardless of what you've done or how long you've stayed away, can walk into the presence of God and be genuinely heard. That's the foundation on which everything else rests on. So when Paul says, present your requests to God, he means it all the way, because there's no barrier left. Okay, so we've heard about why prayer is important. Now let's look at the Bible and what it says about how we should pray. And let's go to the source. Let's look at what Jesus actually taught about prayer. So his disciples came to him one day and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And here's the thing that I found so interesting when I studied this. The prayer that Jesus gave them is, without a doubt, a wonderful prayer to recite. But even more than that, through it, He was also teaching them and teaching us how to pray with our own words and in the context of our own lives. So let's have a look at this in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Now, if you're like me and you grew up in church, you might have said this prayer actually hundreds of times without really understanding it or letting the words sink in. And if you didn't grow up in church, this might be the first time that you've actually come across this. Either way, I'd love for us to dive in because there's so much depth and beauty in Jesus' prayer. So it opens with our Father in heaven. These words that he uses, it's our Father, not my Father, not God up there somewhere. Our Father. It's relational. It's personal. Jesus is saying, the God who created the universe, the one holding the galaxies together, wants to be known by you as a Father. Now, I know for some of us, this word, Father, might carry some baggage. Maybe your own dad fell short of what you actually needed. And if that's your story, hear me when I say this. God is not your earthly father. He's what a father was always meant to be. Perfect, unconditional, present. And he's not someone who would ever let you down. Now in that next bit, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the part of prayer where many of us kind of skip over because we want to get to the asking bit. But Jesus puts this second for a reason. Prayer isn't just about asking God to come into your story. It's about asking God, where does my story fit in with yours? It's an alignment move in our hearts. It actually repositions us. The God of the universe loves you deeply, and it's his will to do things that will draw you closer to him. But we don't always know what that looks like. But if we open our prayers like this, it helps us to take a posture of submission, to trust God with our lives. This next bit, give us today our daily bread. Notice it says daily, not give us our weekly bread, not give us a five-year provision plan, daily. We live in a culture that sometimes feels like it's allergic to dependence. We're pushed to believe in self-sufficiency, you know, hustle culture. The idea is that if you want something done, you've got to do it yourself. Now, obviously, it is important to be a person who takes responsibility, but there's something broken in the idea that we have to carry everything alone. Daily bread is Jesus saying to us, come back every day, because daily connection and dependence on God is what keeps this relationship active. This bit, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. This is where prayer gets real. Jesus builds in space for us to say, I got it wrong. Not as a shame spiral, not as self-punishment, but as honest accounting. I did something wrong. I said something terrible. I did something that I knew wasn't right. I own all that. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus links receiving forgiveness to giving it. Not because you earn forgiveness by forgiving others, but because the person who truly grasps how much we've been forgiven by God and the grace that that entails, it makes us find it easier to let go of the things that others owe us. Now, for some of us in this room, the hardest part of prayer isn't talking to God, it's forgiving someone who hasn't said sorry. And I want you to know, you don't have to pretend that that's easy. But praying this way makes space for that exact conversation. This end bit leads not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This last part acknowledges something true about real life. The journey is long, and we need help along the way. We need God's help to deliver us from bad situations where we hurt ourselves and others, and to deliver us into the goodness of His fortress of peace that transcends all understanding. Now, I'd love to give you something that you can take home today, something practical about prayer. Not because prayer is a formula, but because when we're learning something new, having structure helps. Think of it as kind of training wheels for prayer. It can help us to find our balance until we get the hang of this prayer thing. And the acronym I want to introduce you today is P-R-A-Y, pray. And I want to walk you through each letter and show you where it comes from in the passage. And we're actually going to use this together at the end of this talk. So starting with P, praise. When you pray, start with who God is and not what you need. That's where the hallowed be your name part of the Lord's Prayer comes in. Before you bring your problems, spend a moment acknowledging who you're talking to. This isn't flattery. God doesn't need your compliments. This is calibration for our hearts. It changes our perspective even before we say another word. So you might simply say, God, you are good. You're bigger than what I'm facing, and you're with me. That's it. That's praise. The next one, repentance. Get honest about where you've missed the mark. Jesus includes this in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. Not because God is holding grudges or waiting to punish you, but because relationships require honesty. And pretending that everything is fine when it isn't creates a gap between us and God. Repentance in prayer could sound like, Lord, I've been selfish this week. I've been anxious and trying to control everything and trusting you. I'm sorry. Short, honest. It's about being real. Ask. This is the bit where you bring your actual needs and requests. In Philippians 4, 6, it says, present your requests to God. Jesus tells us, give us today our daily bread. God wants to hear what's on your heart. Not because He doesn't already know, but because the act of asking opens our hearts up. It's like the difference between a closed fist and an open hand. Ask for things for yourself. Ask for things for the people you love. Ask for things for the people in the situations around you. Ask for the big stuff, your future, your health, your relationships, peace in conflict zones. Ask for the smaller stuff, the exam tomorrow, the awkward conversation that you're dreading. Nothing is too small or too big. Now, why yield? In Australia, here on the, you know, in the streets, we have give way signs. In America, they use this word yield. End with surrender, not with demands. Your will be done. Four words from the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes these are the hardest words to mean. Yield doesn't mean whatever, I give up. Yield means I trust you more than I trust my own plan. It means holding your requests loosely. It means acknowledging that God might have a better answer than the one you're hoping for, even when that's really hard to accept. And this is where peace comes from. Not from necessarily getting what you asked for, but from genuinely releasing it. Now, I'd like you for a moment to imagine what changes, not just for you individually, but for all of us, if we actually started praying like this. Not performing, not reciting the right words, not ticking some religious box, but genuinely remaining connected, like a branch on the vine, talking to God, our Heavenly Father, who knows and loves you deeply, and He's already at work in the places you can't see. Imagine families where the first response to bad news is to pray together. Imagine workplaces where people carry an inner steadiness that their colleagues can't explain. Imagine a generation of young people who've discovered that the God of the universe actually listens to them. That's not fantasy. That's what early church experienced. They prayed in prison cells and the earth shook. They prayed over sick bodies and people were healed. They prayed and 3,000 people turned towards God in a single day. The peace of God that transcends understanding. It's not reserved for a special class of people. It's available to every one of us who bring our anxiety to God and to trust in Him. So if you're open to it, I'd love for us to have a go at trying that now. To wrap up this sermon, I'd like to offer you a quiet space for a time of guided prayer. Now, if you're new to church or you're still exploring who Jesus might be to you, you're welcome to just listen and observe. But if you're a follower of Jesus and if you'd like to explore faith a bit more deeply, I'd like to gently invite you into this time of prayer. If it helps you to focus, you might close your eyes and take a slow, deep breath. If you feel comfortable in doing so, can I encourage you to rest your hands on your lap, your palms facing upwards. Praise. God, we start by acknowledging who you are. You made all things. You're bigger than this room, bigger than our problems, bigger than our doubts. You created us in love. You know us, and you're always good, even when life may not feel good. We take a moment to just be in awe of who you are and all you've done. Repentance. God, we want to be honest with you. Some of us have been living like we don't need you. Some of us have hurt people we love, made choices we're not proud of, or just been running away for a long time. We don't need to hide. You already know it. So we just say, we're sorry. And we thank you for your love that doesn't waver even when we mess up. Ask. God, we bring you what we're carrying. Some of us are exhausted. Some are scared about the future. Some are grieving. Some are carrying anxiety that just won't turn off, or relationships that are broken, or decisions we don't know how to make. Right now, quietly, we each bring you the thing that's heaviest. You see it, and you hear it. yield. God, we don't always understand your timing. We don't always understand your ways, but we choose right now to trust you. Not because we have all the answers, but because you do. We ask for your will to be done in our lives. Help us to stay connected to you, to remain in you, so our lives can bear fruit, fruit that we couldn't produce on our own. Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here. Whatever each person has brought to you just now, you received it. And we trust that your peace, which is beyond anything we can fully explain, is already standing guard over the hearts and minds in this room. Help us to leave this place differently than when we came in, to be transformed, not because of anything that we've done here, but because of who you are and what you've already done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Teach us to keep talking to you on the drive back from church, when we're lying awake in bed sleepless, in the middle of a Tuesday morning. Remind us that the door to meeting with you is always open because Jesus opened it. We remain in you. We pray this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I invite you to open your eyes? That's it. That's prayer. Not a performance, not a formula, a conversation. Messy, honest, imperfect. With a God who's near enough to hear every word and big enough to do something about it.